Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
What's up, world? Ladies and gentlemen, Granny Hulkster is no longer the co-host of Off the Rails Uncensored Part 2, and we're moving times to 11:30 a.m. So allow me, without further ado, to introduce to you a good friend of mine. He goes by the name of Fisher. So welcome to the show, the new co-host, ladies and gentlemen. I give to you, I'm not Ted DiBiase, Fisher.
Hey, what's up, man? Good to be here.
What's going on? Yeah, it's good to have a familiar voice on a new journey together, man. I had some failed ventures beforehand. Those Missouri guys, WWE Kansas City, holy shit. let's see what else. Yeah, this is like
2 or 3 years in the making. We've been talking about doing a podcast for a while now. I'm finally glad that we've had time to do this, so this is going to be fun.
Yeah, this is more fun than the fucking fracking Super Bowl, ladies and gents. I mean, I swear, the entertainment value is going to be way up there.
Yes, yes. No refs here, so all's fair in love and war, so. We're good to go.
Oh. you know, it's just like I tell people, because it's funny. Granny was asking me yesterday that I had like 97, 98 messages on Instagram. Who's the new co-host? Who's the new co-host? And I said, a magician must not reveal the go-around behind his tricks. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is, yep. Folks. We're going to get right down to business with Fisher right here on Off the Rails Uncensored Part 2. So monkeys in the truck or whatever. Hit the SmackDown Live theme, shall we? Okay, so SmackDown Live, no surprise, dude. It starts hot out the gate because this is Mania season, and you and I both know the E likes to rev shit up, even if the engines haven't been revving for quite some time, in my opinion. they start off hot, though. I give them credit. They start off with Charlotte, you know, starting off saying, you know, Becky may or may not be cleared. And then, of course, Becky comes down from the rafters and wants to start a fight with Charlotte on one good leg. So I guess you could call her the one-legged woman in an ass-kicking contest.
I think she's, I was talking to a buddy of mine just not too long ago. I was talking to a friend of mine about this, you know, and I think it's weird. Years ago, and I think this has been a theme that, and you can attest to it, I've said it, and you've heard it you know, the women come on and I'm like, okay, piss break, and I walk off and go to the bathroom. Anymore, you know, I see guys like Jeff Hardy come out and I'm like, piss break, but I see Becky Lynch come and I'm like glued in my chair. I love what they're doing with her. It makes it interesting. The women's tag division's coming alive. That's getting really interesting. But yeah, I think they started off right with Becky Lynch coming out there, because we all know the quote unquote suspensions and how they work, and we all know she's going to come around, you know, before Mania, and kind of see where this storyline's going. And so yeah, I think it was an incredibly hot start with Becky Lynch.
I'm going to say, dude, if Becky Lynch was not cleared, you can guarantee my brethren in the East Coast would be booing the fuck out of Ronda Rousey yet again. Simply because she's not, you and I both know this, she's not organic. And it feels like when she said to the crowd on Monday Night Raw, I used this as a reference point yesterday, when you let the crowd get to you, and this may be a learning curve for Ronda, it's just going to make things worse.
Yeah, for a while, especially when she picked up the title, it's just gotten really stale. And I mean, it's good that she's not doing the Brock Lesnar thing and showing up just monthly. She's doing some little matches here, little matches there. But you know, I think that it's looking predictable. It's looking predictable. She'll drop it at Mania, and from what I'm hearing, she's out after that. So, you know, they're going to book her strong in the meantime, and you know, put over whoever, you know, Becky Lynch, or if they do the four horsewomen angle like that's been discussed. But with, you know, the Charlotte Becky rivalry, I don't know how that's going to work. That's something I've been kind of, you know, trying to figure out how they're going to do that. But Ronda's getting kind of stale.
Something, you know, told me, it's like, why is it her best friend, Shayna Baszler, is doing eons better? You know, as far as progression goes and growth and learning, and as a champion, Shayna's much better than Ronda.
Mhm. Yeah, and I think that's the difference of Performance Center and someone who's on the road trying to train. That Shayna's, you know, full-time training, and she's doing it a little longer, I think, and that obviously shows. And she's had some good matches and such, but, I mean, I think Ronda's had a few good ones. I think she surprised us all with how well she's done. It hasn't been a complete shit show. I mean, she's had her moments, but it hasn't been as bad as I think a lot of us thought it was going to be. But, yeah, like Shayna Baszler, I mean, if they do the four horsewomen thing, you know, Baszler is probably going to be, you know, she's going to be the veteran on that one and leading that team. So, yeah, but I think that's all it is. I think it's just location of, you know, Baszler's at the Performance Center more, and, you know, she gets a lot more time in the ring, I think, than, you know, Ronda, she's always traveling, so.
I completely agree, because, like I said, when I was at SummerSlam, dude, the match with Alexa Bliss, I'm not trying to bring up all her negative matches, but, you know, the cynic in me, it was a shit show and a half. When you hype a fucking match, you promo it, make Bliss out to be the bad, you know, bad cowardice or whatever, and then you get in the ring in front of Brooklyn, of all places, and you give us a 7-minute match. Why?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know.
Yep. That's what they rehearsed, you know. It's not a lot of calling in the ring with Ronda. You got to have it all almost completely mapped out, from what I understand. It's harder to go longer if you have to memorize it all. If you're a vet, you know, you're AJ Styles and, you know, Daniel Bryan, you guys can go hour and a half, so you guys just call it all night long. But, you know, if everything has to be mapped out, it's only gonna go so long.
Because, dude, like I told you, like, doesn't matter what region she's in, she even, like, okay, so after Survivor Series, we were talking, you and I were just discussing about it seems forced. Like, after she got up after a beating, yo, that's total disrespect to professional wrestling, because, yeah, you know, you got beat up by Charlotte, so now you're going to walk up on your own power and then stare down the crowd?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that I think just overall selling is something that she has, she's gotten better at, but there's still a lot of room for improvement in that department. You know, you get the beat down and she pops right back up. It's like, come on, like, you know.
I mean, if you and let's say if you and I have some, or like a last man standing match and you beat me and tear me to ribbons, am I going to be able to get up after the beating you gave me with steel chairs to the throat and you know, kendo sticks to the back and a barbed wire bat to the face? Like, no, dude, I'm going to sell that shit like a motherfucker, because to me, I want the crowd to believe I'm disheveled. I'm the baby face in this instance, let's say. And you know,
yeah. I mean, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know, but, I think what she's done, I think is good. I think that she'll move on. And I think once she's gone, I think we kind of freshen up that division a little bit. As weird as that sounds, I mean, she was such a big hyped up thing, but it's only good for so long. I think with her, and maybe once Brock is out, I'm going to go back to the, you know, shorter title reigns. I feel like there's just nothing special about it anymore. So yeah, I don't know. I'm just ready for someone young to come up and get it, be the new face, you know.
Speaking of young and upcoming, man, I'm kind of. And some people laughed at me on Instagram. I was discussing with this person. He said, what do you think of Mustafa Ali? I said, he reminds me a lot of, not Rey Mysterio, but yeah, like how Seth Rollins used to look with his gear, and then how Sean Waltman, X-Pac, used to be always like the underdog because of his height, but he could move really good. I think that's kind of what Mustafa Ali reminds me of.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah, the comparison to Rollins, I think is extremely fair. I think that's between the look and the style, his physique. And, you know, and I would even go as far as saying Dolph Ziggler. I was one of the few people back in, like, gosh, 2007, whatever, 2008, whenever Dolph went out on his own and started doing his thing, I said, that dude's going to be a champion one day. And I got laughed at for that. I was like, okay. But, like, years later, Del Rio, boom, it happened. And I think Mustafa Ali, I think he's no different. I think he's one of those guys that he's coming out real strong, and they're giving him a huge push out the gate. I mean, my gosh, Elimination Chamber, the guy's been on the main roster for not even 3 months. I mean, touche to that guy, you know, and I think that's showing well, and I think he's handling himself well, and I think he's got every bit of the tools to do it. So, I think he's definitely future champion material.
I think he's definitely future champion material as well. I don't think the crowd now will be acclimated to him. I mean, he got an upset over Samoa Joe, you know, just to get his feet wet. You know, he went toe to toe with Randy Orton.
Got a nice shiner from him. Did you
nice
see
shiner.
That?
Oh, yeah.
That's why he don't sit up. Sit up during the stomps, man. He lay flat. That was on him. He sat up during the stomps. I'm like, bro, that's you.
It's funny. A lot of people are saying, well, I don't see how Asuka's title. I was like, you guys bitched about it for how many months? Now she's champion, and now everyone flocks to Becky because why? Because that's a question that related on the SmackDown Live results. I'm saying, like, look, Asuka tore through NXT. There's no competition for it, and I don't care how many people say Ember Moon. You can't deny talent. Ember's definitely talented, but
injury
the name
talented.
Yep. See, I was about to say it. She's good, but she gets hurt a lot. So.
Yeah. Yeah. The shoulder and now the arm. I don't know what's going on with her.
She just.
But, you know,
just like I said, some people. Asuka.
So the Asuka thing, it's funny. Like you said, and it's funny. People do complain about her, you know, holding the title, and they want it on Becky and all that. people who are complaining about Asuka having the title are the same people that said, you know, let's, you know, end the streak of Asuka, and then they end the streak, and then they go, well, they shouldn't have ended the streak. It's the same, it's ridiculous. It's like the same people that, you know, they want to see it, then they regret it, and they're like, oh, well, actually, those people are always going to be there.
I always laugh because, speaking of rumor mills and stuff being ruined at WrestleMania 34, I was like, well, it was half and half. I mean, you could look at it this way. I mean, it's 6.5 hours if you actually go. Like, I've been going since Mania 29. I didn't think the Asuka-Charlotte Flair match was bad at all. My only pet peeve was they didn't continue the fucking feud after that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
they kind of just ended it. Well, I didn't like how they put Asuka like on a losing streak afterwards. I thought that was kind of, I felt like what they could have done is so she tapped out to Charlotte at WrestleMania. She could still say, well, no one's ever pinned me before, and she can at least keep that and build that to, you know, SummerSlam or whatever, you know, just to create some momentum with her, you know, streak, if you will. But, I mean, they just pissed all over her after WrestleMania. That I didn't like. I thought that was kind of shitty booking, in my opinion. But I see what they were doing, amateur way. But I think they could have at least kept, you know, the no one's pinned me gimmick and kept that rolling.
I, dude, it's funny. A lot of things are going awry, you know, as far as the current female roster, especially Nikki Cross. I think it's better suited for her to be with Sanity, is what most people are saying. Yes and no, because Sanity's not, I mean, they're not as sought out as New Day or the Usos, the ones the main roster fans are so used to.
Yeah, and I think Killian Dane tweeted some displeasure to how booking is, and he's like, you know, my tag team brother's on SmackDown, my wife's on Raw, and I'm sitting at home. What did I do? Kind of thing. You know, so I don't know. The whole Sanity thing, it's another example of what was hot in NXT isn't hot on the main roster. And I think that a lot of people want call-ups, but I don't think they really understand what they're asking for. There's countless, you know, people from NXT that came up that just fizzled off, and I'm sure it would be way better back in NXT. I mean, my gosh, Tyler Breeze, how did they fuck that up? You know, Tyler Breeze, Ty Dillinger, like, I can't believe how bad that they booked all that, you know, and a lot more. I mean, that's just two small examples of NXT talents that just got total shit on the main roster.
That's why I think there's a constant division between NXT and Maine. Like, okay, a lot of people chant Joe, Joe, Joe. I'm like, you have no fucking clue what he did in NXT to what he can do on Maine, or what he did in TNA, or what he did elsewhere in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you have any idea that you guys are getting a boxed version of Samoa Joe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the stuff he did with Styles was interesting. That was very much a Samoa Joe that you and I remember, you know, the mind games and all that fun stuff. But, it's nothing like what him and Kevin Owens and him and Finn Balor and all them did in NXT. And you're just not seeing the same caliber, the same tactics that you saw from the mean, the, you know, vicious mojo that we're all used to. So, but that's PG era for you.
I mean, we both know that, yes, a lot of people refer to Attitude Era as the best era of wrestling. No, it fucking wasn't. As far as wrestling goes, no, it really wasn't. As far as promos go, it's fucking gold all the way around. Moments, yeah, you're not going to recreate the Attitude Era moments. But now it's resurfacing something new. Like, NXT and or Ring of Honor and New Japan and Progress Wrestling. And I gotta say, I don't know if you watch NXT UK, but Walter.
I was so happy to see. I was happy to see that he showed up in the UK instead of just regular NXT. Because the thing with Walter is he won't travel. He doesn't mind wrestling for him, but he won't travel. So you won't see him, at least as far as I know, you won't see him anywhere else but NXT UK, which is fantastic. I love NXT UK because I like a lot of just getting down and wrestling, and their strong style is really great. So yeah, it was awesome to see Walter.
Worlds Collide was a shit show and a half. I'm gonna say it. You're gonna put Tad Gibbs. You're gonna protect your champion, so you're not gonna have them do shit. And then you're gonna book Velveteen to win the whole thing, which is fine by me. I don't care. I love Velveteen Dream, but Jesus Christ, dude, they just literally put a metaphorical remote and fast forwarded the whole goddamn event. So it's literally a 2-hour segment where it's kind of like the Mae Young Classic. They fast forward through the non-interesting matches, and then give the fans, okay, Velveteen versus Tyler Bate. Wasn't a bad match. It was good pace, you know, whatever, very good. But it's Worlds Collide, man. The UK is not supposed to like the US, and you know, in wrestling fan speak.
Yeah. They could have, if they wanted to give Velveteen a number one contendership spot for title, and we all know that he's going for the North American title, they should have just done an NXT taping and done a triple threat with Velveteen, Adam Cole, and Ricochet, and just done that. That would have been way more interesting than the whole tournament. I felt like the whole tournament was just a way to get Velveteen over, which it did, get him a title shot, which it did. But I think that they could have done it way in a way more condensed, way more productive way, you know, than that. Well, and then two, adding on to the Worlds Collide, which I believe was on that Saturday. The next day they did the halftime show, the halftime heat show, the six man. That was awesome. That was way better than the whole tournament. That was, you know, if they wanted to do something special for the weekend, that was it.
You know, dude, I think you and I can both agree. We may not agree. Actually, we do not agree on football fandoms. But holy shit, 36 minutes versus 4 hours of what the fuck?
Yeah. They put on pretty much a 36-minute show, and it was better than anything that Raw and SmackDown has done in 3 hours. You know, it's crazy. And it's certainly, with the theme of the Super Bowl, it was way more entertaining than every single aspect of the Super Bowl. That was complete. I told myself, I was like, I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl because I don't want to be a part of the ratings. I had people over. They were wanting to watch it for the commercials. I gave it in. And like an idiot, like a sucker, I got sucked into the game, rooting for L.A. and all that crap, and how boring was that. And I don't care for Maroon 5. I haven't cared for them since 2003 when I thought they were a rock band, and they're not. I don't know. So I didn't care about any of it. But the halftime heat show was really something special. I really enjoyed that. And the fact they did it at the Performance Center, I thought was a really cool touch. But yeah, it's cool, good spots, smooth, six really great workers. And you know, going back to the call up, those are six guys I know, like Velveteen wants to get called up, and I know a lot of people want to see him get called up. But man, I hate to see him get buried on SmackDown Live or Raw, wherever he goes. But him and Gargano and all of them, you know, they need to stay put.
It's why I say if Undisputed goes, they're not. That's why Hunter's key. DX, NWO, and Four Horsemen had a love child. It would be Undisputed Era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Simply because you look at Roderick Strong. He's like Arn Anderson. You look at Adam Cole, who some people tease Shawn Michaels. Hey, it's your son.
Right.
And then everybody. Kyle O'Reilly and what's his face? Bobby Fish. Oh, man, Bobby Fish cracks me up.
Yeah.
Especially, was it during NXT TakeOver Phoenix when Pat McAfee, dude, iron your pants before you go to an event, you moron. You work for WWE. You would think it would be funny to be in shorts, but don't you know a dry cleaner? I mean, you make a salary for them. You're a writer for them. What the hell?
Gotta look good.
It's funny because I'm like, those legs are about as white as Sheamus. That is pretty, like, it's pretty funny when he puts up one of his, like, your legs are not as sexy as a kicker's legs. I'm like, someone's still living in the past? I mean.
I like Pat McAfee, though. I followed him, I mean, since he was a kicker doing weird stuff with the Colts. But, no, I think he's got a good personality. I don't know if the kickoff shows were he belongs, but I do like seeing him get involved. He's a funny guy.
In my opinion, I think he's like the Tony Romo of NXT now speaking of NXT announcers, a lot of people, dude, I don't know if you believe what was fed to Sam Roberts because, you know, like he was talking about how Bianca Belair was a waste of the card. I don't disagree. I think that it's a half and half thing with Bianca. I think that she's a good performer. She's strong. She's fast. She's quick. But that hair whip thing, I'm sorry. If I was in the ring, I would hide scissors in my tights, and I would chomp it off, see what she'd do.
If someone brought up the point where somewhere in the rules, unwritten, whatever, that you can't, that's illegal to strike someone with your hair or an extremity of that sort. So I don't even know if what she's doing is quote unquote legal. Obviously they let her get away with it however many times. I think that's kind of the part where I'm kind of hung up on it. You know, it's interesting. It's very interesting. I like her. I love her gimmick. I think it's fresh. I think it's new. Her look is really great. And she's a hell of a worker. Know if she was ready for that push. So, I mean, I agree with that. I think there's other women, I think, were probably more, you know, put Candice LeRae in there, but, who else did they just sign recently? I can't. I'm getting AEW signings all mixed up with NXT signings, but there's other women that could have easily had that spot. But, I mean, you know, that's who they want to go with. I think that, you know, she did good. I think it was a good match. I think she did well. And I think she'll continue to get better, but I don't know. I have to agree with Sam Roberts. I don't know. It's weird, like, that he would almost, like, turn heel. I don't know. I was confused by that whole thing.
Me too. I was like, are they feeding him stuff, you know, through his headset? Because he looked very uncomfortable about saying it.
That's what it looked like. And it's like when they asked him about his comments, he kind of froze for a second and then, like, yeah, that's what I said. Like, it was like, what? Like, what happened? Why did you? Okay, I don't know where the payoff is for this, but whatever.
Speaking of uncomfortable, another friend of ours who's not on this show, we refer to ourselves as the Kansas City Shield. Well, let me explain something to you all about Dean Ambrose. I think that when you're put in his position, he's not leaving on bad terms. I'm getting a whole bunch of shit on Instagram. Well, he left on bad terms. He's leaving on bad terms. No, it's called he doesn't want to fucking renew his contract because they're putting him in all kinds of weird positions. Like, oh yeah, let's make you IC champ. Then take the strap off. You put it on someone who's about as entertaining as paint drying on the wall, Bobby Lashley. And I'm like, I don't know, dude. I would jump ship too because, to me, if the company you're working for, you've worked for almost 5-6 years, is gonna say to you, okay, yeah, we'll give you the strap, but you know you got to represent it this way. I don't think Ambrose wants to represent it in the company's way. I think he wanted to give the fans a show, and when he wasn't allowed to do that, they just kind of put the fucking clamps on him. In my opinion, and now AEW is looking really good to him.
Yeah, And he's one of actually many guys in the WWE that's been there for a while. They've made their money, and it's not really about the money. So they offered him whatever seven-figure amount to stay there, and he's saying, you know what, I could be Jon Moxley in AEW and have way more creative freedom, and probably won't make as much as what they offered him. But, just, again, I'm not about the money. He's got money saved up. Now it's about creative freedom. That's the whole point. You know, him, Zack Ryder, The Revival, Dolph Ziggler, whoever, all those guys out there that are rumored to jump ship, you know. Dude, they've got the money. I mean, Revival, they've only been in it for however many years now, but I'm sure they've got enough. But, you know, they can take that gamble to go to AEW and say, you know, I'm going to do something different. And it's not on bad terms. He just simply said, you know, I think I'm going to not re-sign. It's just like Jericho back in, I think it was 4 or 5 when he didn't renew and he left. It wasn't on bad terms. It was just, man, I'm burnt out. I want to go do this or I want to go do that. And he can do that. So I think it's very similar to the Jericho deal years ago. It was just not renewing. It's nothing personal. I'm sure that he'll come back eventually, you know. Just won't be for a while.
And it's also funny, and I'm not trying to, like I said, we're all fans, and you and I are both former workers. The fun part about this is people seem to generalize and conceptualize an idea, and they post online legit heat between Nia Jax and Ambrose, or not Ambrose, but Nia Jax and R-Truth at the Rumble. I'm like, look, Braun is a good man. And, you know, I laugh my ass off. I'm like, if there was legit heat, I mean, guys, their Twitter and their personal lives are so different because they have to, like, on assignment, they have to post on their social media what they're up to, what they're doing, you know, what's the current scene. I mean, Carmella's pretty good about doing that, you know, and Becky Lynch, of course. Becky's tweets crack me up. The only one to stifle Becky was Chris Jericho, and that was hilarious.
Right, right, yeah. The Twitter war, that was funny.
Yeah.
They're working on each other. Yeah, I mean, they're tweeting at the same time as they're texting each other, saying, "Hey, man, I'm gonna rip you on here, and I'm gonna cut this on you here," and they're laughing about it on the phone. But yeah, I mean, it's all just giant work, and yeah, I mean, you were a worker for a while, I was a worker for a while years ago, and yeah, you know, creative freedom is the key, you know. And I remember when I first started, you know, 2011, when I was training, I thought, you know, I'm thinking WWE, like a lot of people who get into the business. And then, you know, mm-hmm. you meet guys who come out of the WWE who have been there for a minute, and they come back with the horror stories like, dude, you don't want to go there. And so after a while, it was just, you just want to do it because you love it. You just want to do it locally. You just want to do a couple shows. Get with the promoter. If it's small, you guys can kind of come up with some fun stuff. But, yeah, on the bigger stage of things, if I was in Ambrose's shoes and anyone in the WWE, if you don't like where you're at, it's not the only option anymore. And that's exciting. And it's not even AEW. You know, Impact is working on stuff. New Japan is interesting. Ring of Honor. There's so many options now that are paying. Like, the scene is booming now. So now the WWE is offering this giant, lucrative, long-term contract, and a lot of the guys are, you know, they're saying no. And I think Ambrose is the first of very many people to do that.
I think, yeah. Speaking of, you know, getting inside people's heads, man, I usually have a break in between the jibber jabber for a little advertisement. If you'd like to sign up for the WWE Network, folks, you can go to WWE.com. Look under Network. It's your first month free, so you get Elimination Chamber and all the pay-per-views you missed out for bitching against. $9.99 with a valid username and password. That's WWE Network. You can also get a preloaded card at your local GameStops, Dollar Generals, Best Buy, 7-Elevens, and Walmart. That's, you know, the advertisement for WWE Network. Also, folks, for those of you fighting the good fight against cancer, cancer sucks. So please support your loved ones by visiting the following websites: Find the Cure for Connor, SusanGComen.org. There are plenty of other websites, more than the two just listed. If you have a loved one that is fighting cancer, donate your time. It doesn't have to be your money, but donate your time. You know, buy a T-shirt, run a marathon, do what you got to do. Be anonymous. Support your loved ones who have cancer. Cancer sucks, so fight the good fight. Also, folks, for those of you who like Ring of Honor and New Japan and all that good jazz and ICW and Progress Wrestling, you can catch it on the Fight Network. Go to Fight, F-I-T-E, network.com. Subscription may be a little bit more than WWE or less. But you can catch old action from the good old days, as I like to call it. Also, if you like to make your child's wish come true, you don't know when their last day is, you want to make it special, so go to MakeAWish.com, official sponsor of WWE and various other wrestling organizations. That's MakeAWish.com. Type in the search box of the name of celebrity that you wish you see your child. That's MakeAWish.com. All right, folks, we're also going to segue into part where Fisher knows me quite well, although some people do not. So buckle up, fuckers. Going to get inside my head. It's Off the Rails Uncensored. Dig it.
The cost of personality. I know your anger. I know your dreams.
All right, so the section of this show basically entails what's going on in wrestling, what bothers me about it, what makes me happy about it. And I just got a comment on Instagram and messaged like, man, your personality is all kinds of off the wall. Well, thanks, dude. I take that as a compliment. You just compared me to Ambrose? Really? I don't think I'm like him at all, but I'm not white. And two, I don't wrestle for millions of dollars. Thanks, though. I was like, I would take the paycheck, though. I mean, hey. Because I mentioned S.H.I.E.L.D. earlier, so that's probably why.
Good old S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, the gimmick that got well oven-baked and overdone.
I think that was another part of the Ambrose departure is that things, you know, the wheels have fallen off that wagon quite a bit ago. And I don't know. I never was a big Ambrose fan on his single, you know, his singles push. You know, I mean, he did a few things I liked, but him leaving wasn't a super loss to me. I don't know. I was never a super big fan of him.
You know, dude. Okay, since like this segment, like I'm gonna just start off from the top. Like I really think SmackDown Live has been decent all the fucking time. Monday Night Raw just now is getting better. It's getting there. But there are some decisions in the front or the office, man, that are really, really not making me happy. One would be, okay, so why didn't you guys capitalize off the idea when Seth Rollins is hot off the press? It'd be cool to have a dual champion, you know, and the IC title wasn't interesting. Well, at TLC, and this goes back to Ambrose, is the fact that he was not, his character was not able to breathe. So you're going to put him in a match, just boring solo match, no ladders, no chairs match, nothing. Ambrose is one of those guys that's enhanced, I believe his gimmick is enhanced by hardcore elements. Like,
yeah.
you know, like when he was Moxley, he just, you know, was crazy in CZW. Because he goes, well, I've had death matches before, you know. You only live this life once, so you can't be, like, scared or scared shitless to do it. And I just thought to myself when he said that on Chronicle, which I believe that's also straight up bullshit because they don't go the full length of their career. Like, they just follow. It's like a documentary. I'm like, are they dying? You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what bothered me.
His road to recovery after injury and that stuff. Yeah, I mean, well, and they didn't go full kayfabe. Like, it's weird. Like, it was half real, then they kind of kept storyline there. Like, kayfabe was kind of on the fence. So, because there was something that happened, and it was like he was upset about something or somebody. And it was included in the storyline, and I was like, is this whole thing a work? Like, what am I watching? So yeah, I don't know. The Chronicle thing was weird.
The dialogue was so fucking weird, dude. Like, it showed me, you think I like doing this shit to my brother? I'm like, are you in character, or did they tell you physically, okay, say this, blah, 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 do this. Okay, so you do what company asks you. That's smart. But what I'm saying is complete bullshit when certain people like you and I can catch on and be like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, especially the one with Paige. The one with Paige was real. But at the same token, dude, they didn't really show you every bit of the emotion. They just shortened it because I'm guessing they have a time constraint. They have to pay a certain company who sponsors them allotted time. I get it. But at the same token, that's what kind of Chronicle is a series that really bothers me because a friend of mine watched it. And she, you know, I was like, that's not... I just don't, it's not believable to me. Like, some of it is and some of it isn't. Like, when they were on the tour bus, you know, with Roman, it just, like, they skipped a bunch of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just, yeah. I mean, that's kind of why a lot of people are flocking towards other wrestling because, oh, yeah, need to mention, you know, if your fandom doesn't extend past WWE, cool, but people, just take a look at what other wrestling groups are doing, like Ring of Honor. Jay Lethal's held the title for a very long time now. It's like a record, a Ring of Honor record. And you got Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega out there doing so much great stuff. And it's just, to me, dude, it bothers me when fans are like, well, how come the Young Bucks turned down WWE? Do you realize if the Young Bucks were to come to WWE, this is just hypothetical, would they, you know, would they just be lost in the shuffle or like, you know, the Good Brothers? Or would they become Triple H's favorites?
They would get lost in the shuffle, and that's a lot of the reason why they started their own promotion. Is, I mean, I don't know if it's a work or not, but they claim that, you know, they thought long and hard about their options and whatnot. But then again, I think the AEW thing has been in the works for a while. But had they gone to WWE, creative control, there's none. You can make all the money in the world, but you're not going to go to Vince McMahon and say, hey, we're going to come up with our own storylines, their own feuds, their own moves, their own entrance, all that stuff. It just doesn't work. It doesn't matter who you are. And that was the deciding factor. And in AEW, I think at first it's going to be a success. I think it very well might be a very strong rival against the WWE. I think it's got the right people in the right place. Their attitudes are right. I think just the times are right for it. So they can make the money that WWE was an offer, if not more money, and have complete control of their creative outlook on it. You know, Cody's the same way. It was about creative control, you know. And absolutely, they would get lost in the shuffle. They would be with Gallows and Anderson and with AOP and, you know, whoever else has been lost. The fact that I can't remember the name is exactly the point. They would get lost.
You know, and the other thing is people are like, well, I don't like the super indie stuff. I'm like, okay, define super indie. Because there are people that do not sell. There are people that do a bunch of falsies. And it's like some are, you know, I don't care. Wrestling to me is wrestling. If they do a spot fest, then yes, I do care. Because then it's not wrestling anymore. It just becomes one big, okay, you do this spot,
yeah.
I do that spot. You do this spot, I do that spot. No. Like, I appreciate the, you know, the valor for that shit, but no. Revolver's not terrible, you know, with that stuff. Sammy does a really good job for his stuff. Evolve, I've been to a few Evolves. That's where I finally got to see Cassius Ohno and Matt Riddle and all them. But, dude, let's be real. Cassius Ohno. I don't know what to make of him in NXT. He's not bad. He's not, I'm not understanding. I mean, Chris Hero used to be like the end guy, the cool guy to go to. Now it's just like, wow, dude, you're slopping together matches with Riddle. So basically you're hanging on by a thread now.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, you know, I think I know why. Because when they first signed Cassius Ohno, Chris Hero, I call him Chris Hero. I cringe at Cassius Ohno. When they signed him, they were still going through the process of basically wiping out any kind of past that the wrestler had. You know, whatever you did before here doesn't matter. And so we're going to repackage you as Cassius Ohno. A few short years later, you know, like Kevin Owens, that's another example. But years later, like Samoa Joe came in as Samoa Joe. You know, Ricochet came in as Ricochet. Adam Cole and so forth. So it makes you wonder, you know, if they would have signed him in 2 days in NXT, I think he would still be Chris Hero. And I think that it's not too late to repackage.
It's amazing to me how people forget, like I said, there's a division between main roster fan, NXT fan, and I'm a purist indie fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the thing that I've experienced going around seeing different wrestling, as you see is evidence of, you know, the times and the evolution of wrestling. So... oh, yeah, and evidence of me and my Facebook, that is, because Rich Swann, Tommy Dreamer, all that, Mark, you know, Mark-esque pictures with wrestlers, you know. But I just want to say, it annoys me, dude, when I sit at Barclays Center, and it's like PTSD. Well, they put the babies with the babies and the heels with the heels. I turned right to the dude and told him, shut the fuck up, please.
Yep.
You know that feeling when someone uses terminologies and they're not familiar with? That's another thing that's a pet peeve of mine. Oh, yeah. He didn't do it right in the corner. She's going to kick him in the face. He's going to step up in security. I'm like, I just want to pull some of them aside and say, why don't you get in the ring? We're going to learn back bump, front foot bump, lock up, arm wrench into hammer lock.
Yeah. Time to do a back body drop. Let's go. I had that once. I think it was, Lunatic Lenny. That was you met Lunatic, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Man, he's such a sweet guy. Hopefully I don't just ruin his gimmick, but he's such a sweet guy. We did this meeting in Pleasanton, Kansas years ago, and he knew I was in the training process, and he was like, get in the ring, you know. So we got, I got in the ring with him, and we were bouncing around doing stuff, and he was like, let's do a back body toss. And so I did it, hit it real good, got up, got some good height on it, and man, he was so nice. But man, those things kill you. For someone who's never been in a ring before, they need to do a back body toss, and they can tell me, you know, how they think about it then. But yeah, a lot of guys who don't know what the fuck they're talking about, it's hard not to just shake them.
Dude, I was sitting in Barclays Center, and you know I'm from New York, so like it's irritating when I blah blah blah. I'm like, if you're trying to impress your girl, here's a thought: don't ever say shit in front of a former worker, because we can roast you like a Thanksgiving turkey on Thanksgiving Day.
Yep.
And I just turned around and told him. I says, do you know what it takes to get in that ring? Until you do, I said, you know what? I'm going to let you be who you are, because you with your girl. I'm going to leave. I was going to move seats, because I was just sitting in the nosebleeds, and Barclays has an extensive fucking set of nosebleed seats. Anyways, so he follows me. So, was I bothering you? And I said, dude, pick up your non-existent balls and move the fuck over, please. Because I said, I will embarrass you in front of your girl. You think you know wrestling because you watch, you know, shit, you know, how-tos on YouTube. I can show you the basics, but that does not mean I know everything about it, okay? Because in wrestling, you still learn. Even if you think you know everything, that's when you start losing, is you think you know everything. That's another thing. I think some of the guys in NXT, you know, like Johnny Gargano could have easily quit, because what they, you know, he constantly would lose at takeovers. Until this year against Ricochet, which that match was phenomenal. Every match that Gargano puts, he elevates that person, like his match with Aleister Black, TakeOver War Games. That was amazing because, you know, he attacked Aleister, you know, and Aleister basically said, I will absolve you of your sins. I love the fact that they're letting a Satanist gimmick come out. I mean, he hasn't gone full-blown with it, but his kicks, dude, ever since, you know, the Hideo Itami match at TakeOver Brooklyn, ever since Aleister's arrived on the scene, it's just...
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun watching him. I was kind of hoping that they would have kept his Tommy End character, because when he first debuted, it was the first NXT UK tournament or whatever. He came out after a match. I can't remember which one. And he came out as Tommy End, which was his indie name. You know, PWG and all these other great promotions he wrestled for. And it was a sweet gimmick, you know. I mean, I like Aleister Black. I have no problem with it. I think it's a great gimmick. I think what they've done is awesome. But again, it's another one I'm terrified to go up to the main roster, because man, oh man, unless they book them right. But NXT is a fun place right now.
It goes through cycles, and it took it a while to get where it's at. When it had Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and Nakamura and Joe, and some people say I'm just not into NXT anymore, you know, and it's fine. I watch it because it's like therapy to me. Like, it's kind of a sense of relief from the bullshit that is the NFL. I mean, the only thing I'm going to touch on that's non-wrestling related is just, to me, like, how the fuck can certain teams get to certain places, you know? That's just throwing that out there, folks, a random thought for the day.
Yeah. Very Sean Payton of you to say.
Marcus Peters. Oh yeah, Marcus Peters, where you at, bitch? Aqib Talib. To Raiders and Chiefs fans, do not like those two, because Aqib Talib, one, why don't you go shoot yourself in the foot again? Marcus Peters, why don't you get in the face of Sean Payton again? See how that works for you. I'm not one to shy away from confrontation, folks. I'm not afraid of NFL players.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really want the Patriots to win, but it was one of those, I really didn't want to see Marcus Peters with a ring. I just could have cared less. I still don't care. I'm just ready for next season. Shoot, I'm ready for the Royals right now. I'm ready for baseball season. I think on Super Bowl Sunday, a lot of people came over wearing, like, Chief stuff, and I was the only one wearing, like, Royal stuff because I was like, nah, season's over. That was just me. I'm ready for Royal season.
Baseball, yeah, to me is much, well, for me, it's a lot more entertaining because Yankees fan here. Baseball, folks, is a lot. It just seems, even though, like, the market's completely out of control and nobody puts a cap on the salaries in baseball, they should, but is what it is.
They should.
But anyways, folks, let's get back to some wrestling here. Yeah, I promise you I'll give you a full SmackDown Live review. I don't need to. That show is on autopilot as far as awesome goes. As far as NXT tonight, I don't know where they're going to pick off, you know, or pick up. But I wonder, you know, a lot of people have been pointing the direction of Velveteen Dream's title selection, which would be the North American Championship. Although,
mm-hmm,
I think Gargano doesn't care because Gargano, in my opinion, dude, he doesn't really need it because I think he's also wrestling out of Evolve, as is Tyler Bate, as
yeah,
is, you know, Zach Gibson and Mark Andrews and all of them from NXT UK. And, you know, the misconception,
mm-hmm,
people have, oh, they wrestle is just for NXT. No, they take other bookings.
Yep. Yep, and Velveteen wrestled over there recently, too.
Mm-hmm. That's why he looks so in shape, folks. That's why he looks fresh, if you will. It's because he takes certain bookings, you know, not just Evolve, but, I mean, he goes where they permit him to go. So,
mm-hmm,
you got to work within your means to make money, right? Wrestling is not just you stick to one unless you're Randy Orton or a John Cena or a big name like Becky Lynch now. Speaking of that, dude, I don't know. I hate to center the show around one person, but when Ronda does promos, we're always taught in professional wrestling that you cannot threaten someone nor can you tear the other person down. Heel or babyface. Threaten, meaning like on Monday Night Raw, if I could, I would kill you with my bare hands. Like, no.
Yeah. You're never supposed to blatantly bury your opponent. Because if you bury your opponent, they make it almost like there's no threat to you. So if you win, what did you really win? And that's the mentality they teach you is, you know, you want to cut a promo to make yourself look strong and all that stuff. But, like, if you just cut down the other person to be 2 feet tall, then if you win, it means nothing. And that's exactly what they teach you. And that's exactly where she has an issue with that, with I'll kill you with my bare hands and all that stuff. I mean, she's had some good moments, but, yeah, I cringed at that one, too. I'm glad you brought that up. That's funny.
Because it's like, dude, like, I listened to her speak, and she was great when she was doing it to the Bellas, because I could care less about those two. I think, you know.
That was so good. That was best mic work probably of her entire career. That knocking on doors line was savage to the core, man. It was beautiful.
I like that she went after them, and I bet you the Bellas were like, okay, I want you to get personal with me. Give me what you got. The Bellas didn't give two flying fucks, dude. They've already accomplished a lot in the business, okay? They've cut their own show. They've won championships. And if anything, I think the women's tag team championships came too late because I think the Bellas should have, in my opinion, whether you hate me for saying this or not, it would have been really good to see them win the championships. People are like, oh, no, this is a new women's era, blah, 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 blah. Shut the fuck up.
I mean, if it was 5 years ago, I would agree.
Yeah, if it were 5 years ago and the Bellas were at the, you know, they were really getting heat from the crowd and they were drawing an audience, you know, for the women's division because people love to hate. So,
yeah.
The Iconics, I mean, I hate to say this, dude, but they're probably going to make the mistake and make Raw have the tag team championships for the women because it's a heavily favored, it's a heavy foredrawn conclusion. And I don't mean to say anything negative towards Vince or Hunter or the creative staff of WWE, but Jamie Noble included, Brian James, all of you guys. Great, phenomenal job what you've done for the company, but there are some things that kind of make us wonder. Like, is Nia and Tamina become champions, you're going to have the most boring fucking tag team run ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're powerhouses.
Yeah.
Who's going to beat them? I mean, for real. So at Elimination Chamber, folks, which is in a couple weeks in Houston, Texas, you can follow it on the network for free. Like I said, you can also subscribe, and then you get charged $9.99 afterwards. Get preloaded card, you get 3 months, so 4 months with the preloaded card. Anyways, you have Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan. I like those two.
Yeah, I think a lot of improvement. I think Liv Morgan's getting better and better. I think Sarah Logan's, I think she's always been pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. I see Sasha and Bayley taking that one.
I do too, because like I said, Monday Night Raw tends to get the favoritism when it comes to showcasing talent. Like, you never see, seldom do we see SmackDown Live win at Survivor Series. I cannot recall the last year that I remember SmackDown Live going over at all. And I get why, because Raw has the lowest ratings. They had a 2.6 million viewership average in 2018, which is well below normal. You have to have at least 3.5 at the bare minimum to keep your show on board. That's why there's rumors of them going to Fox, and I'm thinking, again.
Yeah, it was like a $2 billion deal or something that they got with Fox this year. I think they're moving SmackDown back to Thursdays or Fridays or something like that.
They're moving, see, and AEW's smart, dude, for moving the show to CW on Tuesdays. And they've got help and interest from Jim Cornette and Jim Ross. So, like, most people are thinking, well, JR still helps WWE. He's a free agent, so he's not really exclusive to any brand. He can say, hey, Vince, I think this guy you should take a look out, an eye out for. Hey, you know, so-and-so, you could take a look at this guy or gal. I mean, he's been doing work in New Japan. I miss JR. I do. But I think the good substitution for him, dude, for me, from NXT, was Mauro Ranallo.
Mauro, Nigel is gold.
Nigel on NXT UK. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I think he's gold.
So, dude, what's your opinion on Jenny from NXT? I think she's very, in my opinion, dude, she's very underrated. And I think that she and Toni Storm should begin the feud.
Yeah, I think that, Jenny. Is that you?
Tall.
UK?
Yeah, the tall, slender. Yeah, yep.
Yeah. I think she looks great. Toni Storm's great as always. I mean, following her for a while. I think they should absolutely, you know, drag that out.
I think Rhea Ripley, I appreciate her, you know, as much as I can, but, like, I'm not sold on her, you know, like, yeah, she could feud with Toni Storm as well, but it just seems like she just, I don't know. The Mae Young Classic is different than actual NXT, you know, and I'm not discounting her talent. I just feel like she's a good powerhouse. She's great, but I don't feel like she's got a connection with the fans.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it being in just that one market, it's hard to get a fair judgment, you know, without traveling with, you know, NXT or anywhere on the main roster and seeing how she fares with that. So, I mean, you can see her swim somewhere else and it might be totally different somewhere else too. So, I mean, I think it just kind of limits our hindering on the reaction of how she's going to do.
And the other thing is, like, before I wrap this up, dude, like, overall, like, I think, I don't know about WrestleMania because the things are kind of going out of whack. Like, they just now put access tickets on sale. They haven't even said anything about Hall of Fame. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they ran out of folks to put on the ballot. Some of my fans are saying, really? Marty Jannetty? Okay, no.
Yeah.
I'm waiting.
They usually by now start putting names together. I'm kind of waiting on that. My guess is it'll probably be after their Chamber. Maybe the Monday after Chamber they'll start announcing it. The big rumor is the Undertaker. That's the lead man right now. As we're talking about Undertaker, Big Show. I think Floyd Mayweather as a celebrity entrance.
Well,
and there's a few. William Regal was one of them. There's quite a few on there that I agree with.
I think as long as they keep putting it together, because I was like, wow, normally they either do it before Chamber or after Chamber, and I don't want to put a stifle on that. But,
yeah.
I just, for me, dude, like, I've always, this is going to sound funny, but, like, ever since Mania 29, it's just been one right after the other, and thinking, I was like, what do I need to go to that? Oh, yeah, WrestleCon. WrestleCons are always fun. That's kind of like Comic-Con, but for wrestling fans. Last year was Stone Cold, Bret Hart, and Shawn Michaels were my big three.
Yeah.
And so Stone Cold, dude, has got meat hook for hands. I says, dude, he is fucking huge.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Michaels is goofy as goofy can get. Oh, you know, man. He's one of my big-time favorites. Brad, on the other hand, I don't think he was angry. I think he was just tired. When I said, I'll go back to the ATM, dude, you know, to get my stuff, he's like, okay. And I was like, oh, I struck a chord. I don't know how. But anyways, to wrap this up, folks, the new co-host of Off the Rails Uncensored with the new time at 11:30 a.m. You can download this on iTunes. You can share with your friends on Facebook. I'll be sharing this on Twitter on VTrain05000 and also Instagram at Wrestle_radio on Instagram. So feel free to ask Fisher any questions. I'll be working on new art and also a docu-series called The Tracks of Life. It may be a little bit before I get some videos uploaded to the new YouTube channel. All right, fam. That's it for today's show. Enough send-offs. I am Brian Rails, and if you didn't like what I said, then I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. And Fisher, thank you, man, for coming on the show. We hope to, I hope to see you next week, man. I got to go.
Yep. All righty.
All right. That's all, folks. I got to eat.
Dig it.
Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of personality. I know your anger. I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of personality. Like Mussolini and Sammy D. The cult of personality, the cult of personality.